Hey everybody, this is the Brew Shaman for Crafted For You. With me tonight are my usual suspects.
Hey guys, it's Alyssa.
And it's Chris Nielsen.
So we are here on location at Natty Green's Brewing Company. We are at the pub, which is located downtown Greensboro.
On the third floor, where it's my first time being on the third floor.
Swanky up here.
Yeah.
It's exciting, right? We leave all the madness behind.
With us tonight, we have their brewer, head brewer, the only brewer.
The only.
Hello. I think officially my job title is head pub brewer.
Head pub brewer.
Which would, I think, indicate there were other brewers, but it is just me.
So. Yeah, because this used to be a two-man operation at one point.
It did, yeah, when we had the two pubs.
Before we keep going, because we've been talking about his title so much, you never actually said his name.
I did. I said Brian Carter.
You did?
We
yeah,
just talked about it, really.
We were
yeah,
just
you talked
we were loud.
Okay.
You
but
forgot,
this is Brian Carter.
My real title.
What's your real title?
Doctor.
Right? Oh, he is a cello player.
I am a cello doctor.
Yes.
Oh wow!
I know, it's weird.
And now you brew
to,
beer.
And now
yeah.
I brew beer. Random.
We still have to come and see you.
It's true.
Good to know that you still have to have a day job.
So yeah, where was I going with that?
Sorry, no, I totally interrupted your intro.
It's okay, that's kind of like what we try to do is like
awesome.
Fuck Jeff up.
Yeah. Just derail me,
like,
and then
always.
I was like, my train of thought's like, nope, it's over there.
Right. Well, intro's done now, so we can
cool. Oh, I was saying, this used to be a two-person job. Mm-hmm.
Yes, when we had two pubs, it was a two-person job with a dedicated wort producer in the upstairs in the brew house and a dedicated cellar person downstairs doing all of the cellar activities. But when the Raleigh pub closed, I think Mike talked about this a bit when he was on. A while ago, they scaled
yeah.
the position back because there's just not. I have days or weeks sometimes where it would be really nice to have an assistant in the cellar, but I don't have. There's not enough consistent work in the cellar to warrant an actual position. I've battered the idea around of there are a couple of the servers here have shown lots of curiosity and interest about what the hell I'm doing downstairs.
yeah.
And I think if we could sort out, you know, I don't want to put anybody into overtime. To do it, but if we could figure out the hours, I think there's the possibility of like when I'm really in the weeds, you know, just teaching somebody like how to fill kegs or you know how to clean
just
how
doing
to
the
clean
meaningless tasks that
yeah
not meaningless but
right but
meaningful.
Stuff that would that I could not do so I could
you could be doing other things,
other things
yeah
because yeah.
you were just saying while we were while you were giving us a tour
mm-hmm.
that you're really getting into your busy season
yeah we are
so
yeah.
I'm sure the help would be. Useful.
Yeah. In fact, I'm still, I mean, it's, you know, end of the day Tuesday, and I still have not actually finished my entire list of the stuff I hoped to do on Monday.
And you're sitting here podcasting with us.
That's right. Well, you know, you can only work so many hours in a day. I mean, I've lately been pulling mostly 9 and 10 hour days, because things just take time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because beer is ready when it wants to be ready.
Right.
You can't
exactly.
really, you can't push it along.
Yeah.
But, so, we got something interesting in our glass tonight.
You do.
It's a little exciting.
Yeah, this is a fun beer. This is called the, it's the next thing in my Belgian series. I've sort of decided to have a Belgian tap at all times.
I love it.
And, funnily enough, I've decided to coin them the Foxy Belgians. And so all the Belgian beers have some fox-related name.
Okay.
So this one is Foxtail Belgian Pale Ale. I'll give you guys, like, 1 second to see if you can guess where the name came from. Has nothing to do with the beer. Y'all just reached your
glass. Maybe we need a second drink.
So, have you guys read the Roald Dahl book, The Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yeah.
Or seen the movie, The Wes Anderson
yeah.
Take? So, of course, the farmers, their big prize is when they shoot off Mr. Fox's tail.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually reading the book to my kids at that time when I was coming up with all these foxy beer names. And I was like, Foxtail! Gotta do Foxtail. So that's where the name for this beer came from. It's very much, I mean, you know, like the Belgian Pale in Belgium is basically like a single. It's like a table beer. It's like 1.5%. It really is not a style that would work in this country, in the scene we have. So this is very much like an American take on the Belgian Pale Ale. It's got a super complicated malt bill. It's got pale malt, Munich malt, special B, biscuit malt, candy sugar... and I did two different kinds of Belgian yeasts, and I hopped it all the way through, including dry hopped with the New Zealand Rakau hop. nice. Which is super floral.
Yeah.
It's only like 23 IBUs, 25 maybe. It's like 5.9% ABV. You know, I was just really trying to highlight the yeast profile.
That's what I was just about to say, the yeast comes through so much. It's delicious.
Yeah, one of the yeasts I used, it did not flock out very well, so this one's not so the usual clarity standard that I'd like to hold myself to, but it's okay. I think it works for this beer.
I think so.
No, I think you get more of the flavor of the yeast because it's still in suspension.
Yeah.
Because it didn't flock.
Yeah, it will drop out over time.
Yeah.
I can't get around that. Because that's what cold and time do.
Eventually it will fall.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, this is fantastic.
Cool. Oh, there's oats in it too. I forgot that. There's oats.
Okay.
Kind
of smooths out the bitterness a little bit.
Yeah. And I was, you know, looking for that sort of like just nice creamy mouth feel that the oats lend to things. That sounds gross. Creamy mouth feel.
You
it's
said
the
it.
Terminology
I said it.
You
right.
have to
that's
use
right.
it.
But I think that sort of, you were talking about the clarity, but I think like the oats coming through kind
mm-hmm.
of make the clarity, it goes down the way it looks.
Right.
Like in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know.
It's a very full.
And it kind of helps that yeasty, yeah, I like it.
I don't want to stop drinking it.
No,
I
know.
I feel like I need to say something, but I'm just going to drink more.
Awesome.
And you're just going to wait on us to talk. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep drinking, you guys talk.
You guys talk.
Yeah,
how many beers do you keep on tap here?
We have 12 taps, three of which are handled by our production facility, so I'm
mm-hmm.
in charge of 9 of the taps.
Okay.
So there's a nitro tap, which I tend to make some kind of dark beer right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brown porter. Well, we should have some of that maybe later. I put it on nitro to sort of, it's a very English-style porter, and I wanted to...
Is that the one that... Mine is similarly based off of?
Yes.
And I got my grapes from?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I
should have brought some of that.
Should have. I put it on nitro and carbed it pretty minimally to try to mimic like a London real ale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that's working, but it's really delicious on nitro. It's very roasty, very chocolatey. And then I try to keep 2 hoppy taps on at all times because that's, you know, what the market dictates now. I try to do a wheat beer. I try to do, like I said, I'm doing the Belgian thing. I try to always have a high gravity beer. I'm trying to have like an experimental tap, which
mm-hmm.
will just have like weird ingredients. So right now there's like a coffee amber on. I did a chocolate beer a while back. I've got this melon blonde ale in the tank
Ooh.
Right now.
Like New Zealand hops, or
Well, I used it's just it's really really simple blonde American blonde malt bill. It's just pale and half a bag of Vienna. That's it. And I used El Dorado. And
oh yeah,
first work because it's very watermelon tropical fruit forward. And then I finished it with the German Huel melon hop.
Okay, yeah.
Which you know they say it tastes like cantaloupe. I'm not getting that yet. It just smells and tastes like good noble hops to me, but
cantaloupe doesn't really taste like much though.
I don't know, you've eaten the wrong cantaloupes.
I guess. Not to a
but melon has like a character, like a flavor. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. My hope is that it's sort of we're ushering in summer with this beer, and I think it'll just be a nice light, like crushable blonde ale with some notes of melon.
Nice and crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to put any actual fruit in it.
I don't blame you.
I'm not super crazy about fruit beers. I think it's a thing I'll have to do. Because people are crazy about fruit beers right now, and you can't ignore what the market's doing. But as a personal thing, I personally don't ever really like go seeking out a fruit beer.
Like the one that I can think of that has a lot of melon flavor is the Heller High Water.
Yeah.
Like that's super.
But I think there's actual water.
I think
melon
they do.
In that
beer.
Yeah.
What was I going to say is putting actual fruit in the beer is so hit or miss because if you want to recreate your recipe, you're at like.
Mercy of
the
seasons,
mercy.
And the quality of your product.
And
yeah, you have to make sure that the fruit is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Agreed.
So.
You know, and in a lot of ways I don't necessarily have to worry about that too much. That's sort of like one of the beauties of this particular position is that I have, you know, a real blank slate. Right?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, I have a lot of autonomy with recipe creation and, you know, I think ultimately as long as, you know, I'm being creative and things are selling and, you know,
yeah.
more liking the beer.
So I was going to say, it's nice to have the luxury to be able to do that complex of a malt build.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you just can't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And you also get a lot of awesome hops, too, which is cool about...
Yeah.
Because you're a smaller place, so you don't have to buy contracts, like huge contracts for, like,
right.
Cascade and all
right.
that stuff. But you
yeah.
can pick out little lots.
Yeah, I have some fun hops downstairs.
Yeah, like you were saying, like the Humelin and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, and I really, I'm like, I have to actually have to take a sort of step back from Eldorado hops for a little while. I've used it from like three consecutive beers.
We have some at home we want to use.
Yeah,
too.
It's really, I'm in love. I think it, I'm not a soothsayer, but I think it might be on the cusp of being like one of the next like big sexy hops, kind of the way Azaka and Mosaic are.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mosaic's another one that I really need to, I need to pretend I don't have it.
You love Mosaic.
I do. It's one of my favorite hops, and I use the shit out of it. And I,
because when you were at production with us and doing Small Batch, he was like, we're going to throw Mosaic in this one too. Why
yep,
not?
I did. I really have a love affair with that hop. As nerdy as that sounds.
That's a good hop. I enjoy that
hop. Yeah.
Where do you usually like draw your new recipe inspiration from? Is it when you like come across a new hop, or
you know, it's funny. I mean, well, so we can sort of get to this in a backwards way.
That's okay.
Like, I mean, so my prior career to this is as a professional musician, and I still do quite a bit of that. And I sort of look at recipe creation in a really similar vein to how I approach learning a new piece. So like, you know, a composer writes down notes, and like you can just show up and play those notes
right.
with all that composer's instructions, right. and it might not be all that great. And so you have to kind of like
feel for it.
Yeah, you have to take in what the composer said and then do something further to sort of put your own take on it. And I kind of, so for me, when I'm formulating a recipe, like with this Belgian Pale, for example, since we have it in glasses, I did a lot of reading and research on like what makes a Belgian Pale, and like what people are doing in this country to sort of typify the style. And then I look for something I can do to step completely outside of that box. And so in this case, it was simply, it was the oats and it's the New Zealand hops, you know, just putting my own little spin on it. So that way, you know, I don't want someone to come here and say, oh, this tastes exactly like Haw River's Belgian Pale. Cause that's,
right.
you know, that I don't want that at all, you know? And I think that, you know, it, brewing is such a, it's so much like cooking, I think, you know, and that the palate of a chef is really exhibited in their food. And I think the palate of a brewer, if you're successfully realizing, you know, your ideas, you know, your palate is reflected in the beer that you make. I like to think, you know, that that's happening here in a little bit. And it's tricky too, because you have to also step outside of that, because otherwise all your beer will be in this very sort of narrow,
right.
narrow
yeah.
range.
Yeah, you're going to get stuck in the same like
right.
flavor profile.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, it's hard to not just want to make stuff that you want to drink.
Yeah.
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 you know? And I know I'm occasionally guilty of that.
That's interesting, too, because I think sometimes, you know, just through talking to people, we see people that are totally, like, I guess, to extend the music analogy, like theory nerds,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, you know, they find out like, oh, well, this is supposed to do this thing.
Right.
And you start getting, you see people that do a lot more like conceptual brewing
mm-hmm.
and then kind of refine those instead of
yeah.
like going off of what they like per se, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
I think that's interesting to hear people talk about that and
mm-hmm.
see the differences in that.
Right. And I think too, I mean, like in exploring some beers that I personally don't enjoy drinking, you sort of, I feel like you learn more from brewing beers you don't like.
Yeah.
Because you have to really embrace it as a style and think like, okay, I don't want to drink this. I don't like this beer.
Right, yeah.
But I'm going to do the best job I can. I'm going to nail it. I may not want to take a growler home every day, but
yeah.
you know, it, I feel like when you're super excited because you want to drink the beer you're going to make, I think you come at it a different way.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what happened when we made the vanilla bourbon brown that we have on.
Yeah.
Because that's not typically a style that either of us will
right.
drink.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of figuring out ways to make it more unique. We didn't want to just do, like, a brown ale.
Right.
And, like, I said vanilla, then Jeff said bourbon, and we figured it out. And now I think it's the favorite
right.
beer of mine that we have on.
Yeah. Well, because you put your own twist in, you know.
Exactly.
You
found a way to
in
cater
it.
To the way you would like it. And it's different, and it's unique.
Yeah.
Still not my favorite beer.
It's still not.
It's okay, you know.
But there is something cool that happens anytime that you get a beer that's not a style you like, but you're like, oh man, this is the one that I like.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
being
yeah. when you
make
break the
yourself,
standard,
yeah.
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 Of stepping out of your like comfort zone, because like I've said many times, I don't like a lot of stouts and porters, but sometimes you brew and you're like, holy shit, like, this is good, I really like this.
Yeah, well, we found a couple episodes back, someone cracked open the Donut Skillet Stout from The Burial, and I was like, this is a stout I can get down
That's
with.
A pretty fine beer.
So,
yeah,
you find the one that
yeah.
breaks
I think you're finding like key attributes that you like about like a certain beer. Like we both love coffee. So there's coffee in that one. We really like that.
Right.
Sure, there's like there's oats maybe, or there's donuts in it.
Yeah.
So
are there actual donuts in that beer?
I don't know. Maybe.
I've never seen. There's a few brewers that have like
the
a,
Rogue
like
Voodoo
donut
has
beers.
Donuts in it, doesn't it? That was the whole thing because they collaborated with Voodoo, so they put actual Voodoo donuts in it.
And I know they.
Are they mashing in?
They
donuts?
Probably just throw a donut in.
I know
to
they
say
serve
they
it with a donut.
They do.
they like put it on a little skewer and serve it in.
Oh, that's funny.
Glass,
yeah, I love that.
Which, you know, is great. You dunk your donut in there. The other night I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner with a brown ale.
Yeah, with
and
a
it was like,
did you dunk your sandwich?
I didn't. Now I'm thinking about it. I have regrets.
That could be a good coat because you put the, what kind of jelly did we put on there? Like strawberry or raspberry? That would have been good in the beer.
It would have been great.
We're getting serenaded by the train.
Oh, yeah, there's a train that's like right outside the window.
It's the loudest thing on earth. And some of these train drivers, like, I think they just want to really make sure that you know there's a train coming. And
in case you didn't see it.
Right, in case you didn't see or hear it already coming, they will just, like, lay on the horn from, like, 5 miles out through the entire intersection. And it's often when I'm carrying a bag of grain or, like, dragging a bucket of grain, I don't have free hands to cover my ears, and it's... And I'm sounding like a baby now, but it's really loud.
But when you hear it all the time, it's like that one thing.
Yeah.
Which is like this freaking...
Yeah, I
don't... Damn it! Turn it down! It
completes the rustic city experience.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, it's funny that Derek, who used to brew here, missed the train so much that he actually found a replica train for like the Southern Railways. And it's he put a train track going around his outside patio. And the horn, I heard it. The horn is identical. It's like a perfect replica horn. He loved the train. He really missed the train. And so he put one in his house.
It's in his house.
Yeah, it's like on his back porch at his house.
Oh my god.
That's how much
so
he missed the train.
I feel like if I was here every time I heard, like, I would need to pour myself a beer. Like, you just associate.
Is this a drinking game?
You know, like, when like, dog, like, the. You get hungry when you hear a bell. Like, I would think, like, oh, I'm at a pub, I need to drink a beer, there's a train.
I was thinking, like, the old factory, like, when the horn goes off, that's the end of your work day.
Everyone go home.
Yeah. I always wonder, too, about the apartments that are right there. Like, they must be so loud.
Oh, I would hate it.
I'm sure, but I'm sure they're at least somewhat
part of what you said.
Soundproof, maybe a little, but not.
Real early.
Do they come out here really early?
There are very few places in Greensboro where you can truly feel like you live in a city.
Yeah.
And I think that the train is just that.
Well,
I am in a city.
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Can't get over this guy. Is he fly fishing or is he just fishing?
That's random. I'm just staring at him all the time. You know, they can't see what you can see. There's a painting of a fisherman in the room that we're in. Chris has noticed and is very focused on.
I'm staring at an Addie Green sign.
You are.
Yeah. So. Big and bold and in your face.
Yeah. We gotta finish this beer so we have something to talk about.
I know. I'm
we're
excited.
Staring at
so, okay, you said that you got into brewing through different means than most.
Sure, yeah. So, as I mentioned at the onset here, actually I have I have my doctorate in cello performance and music, which is like our terminal degree. Wrote a dissertation and everything. And I was pretty much just running like a freelance life for about, you know, through graduate school, but for about 10 years. I was running my own private teaching studio, I was playing in as many orchestras as I could. You know, my wife went back to school. I initially tried to get a job baking because for a number of years I was making all the baked goods at our house.
Okay.
We weren't buying any commercial bread.
It's got a lot of parallels to brewing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And when I was in undergrad in northernmost New York, where it's very, very cold for a long time, my best friend and I started making mead, which is basically honey wine. It's a very, very old form of alcohol. It's mentioned in Beowulf. That's sort of sticker for mead. And he had made some beer as well, but I only had made mead at that point. But that was sort of my intro, like, oh, hey, you could do this.
You can make alcohol at your house.
You can make alcohol at your house. Yeah. I actually met my wife drunk on our first batch of mead. That's not the story we tell our parents or our kids. But, you know, such is life. And so I didn't, all the bakeries locally that do things from yeast from scratch, their production shift started at 11 p.m., which was not amenable to my life. I was, you know, because I was really trying to, like, dip my toes in something other than music, and that was going to require a guillotine on my music career.
Yeah.
So I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. A friend of a friend was the head cellarman at Natty's, and they needed some warehouse work, and so I... And the hours were perfect. You know, both my kids were still in preschool, and so the ability to come in, you know, from 7 till 12 was perfect. And I could still be in charge of getting the kids from school. School ended at 12. And Jeff and I actually started on the same day.
We did start on the same day.
At the warehouse. And I did that for a while. And then the guy who was brewing there, who was in charge of the pilot system, they just have a small, like, 10-gallon system there. He knew he was leaving, but no one else knew he was leaving, and so he kind of threw out there, hey, maybe we should train Brian on the pilot system. And everyone was like, hey, that's a great idea. So I had sort of been like, you know, I was getting kind of tired of building boxes and doing sort of some of the menial, just like manual labor, and I really, really hated working on the bottling line.
Yeah, you cut your fingers up every day.
Every day, yeah. And of course, my hands are actually kind of important to me, and so I had many days where I was like, what am I doing? Because it's incredibly loud, and it was ruining my hands.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, the two parts of my body that are,
your,
like,
two instruments
really important are my ears and my hands.
That's why
and
I stopped doing warehouse work, too.
Yeah.
Because I just,
I had been sort of cross-trained a little bit in the cellar, and I really like cellar work. I think a lot of brewers...
I think that's the funnest part.
Yeah.
I'd rather
funnest,
do that than brewing.
That's a great use of English.
Shut up,
Jeff.
Enjoyable.
The most fun.
Oh,
the most
God,
enjoyable
it kills me every day. I didn't get my BA in English to marry someone. Yeah, because I do it all the time. There's only so much one
it's
person.
It's the most
funnest.
Enjoyable.
There you go.
Part.
But anyway, so I started brewing in the pilot system. And at that point, I had only ever made extract beer recipes at my house. So, I mean, you know, I would never dare to, like, have called myself a home brewer, because I think that would do a disservice to people who actually, you know, homebrew. I, you know...
Made your own beer.
Yeah, I mean, I did it a little here and there with some friends, you know, and understood the process. And I had read a lot of books, and I've been super into craft beer for a long time. So they trained me up on the pilot system there, and it was great. I mean, it was like homebrewing at work, except I had... this, like, playground of ingredients and could do it every day. I mean, in, like, the first month I was running the pilot system, I probably made as many beers as most home brewers would make in a year. You know, so there was a lot of repetition going on, and that was a similar thing. I mean, I basically could make whatever I want, you know, so I had really free rein on that.
So you really, since you were just doing extract before, you really learned how to brew on, like, a commercial system.
Sort of.
It's similar to what I do at home.
Yeah, it's a transformed keg.
Two vessel system.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it really is like homebrewing at work.
I gotcha.
With, you know, a little more control of some parameters, but it's not.
He's got, like, perfectly temperatured water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like,
on demand
all the
hot
chemicals
water.
You need.
Yeah. Yeah. Cleaning floor drains. I mean, it was, yeah, I think I'd said to you, Jeff, at some point that after doing that at work, I never ever wanted to do all green brewing at my house. I'm so spoiled now.
Yeah,
like,
you
know, I can put caustic in this thing and dump it on the floor. I can't do it at my house. You know?
He had ideal homebrew.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I mean, I can't, you know, I really lucked out in that. And I had, you know, some great mentorship over there too, of people who, like, were really experienced professional brewers, plus all you guys who were in the RCC program. In a lot of ways, I had more input than I really wanted someday. I mean, I'd be sitting there working on a recipe and I'd have, like, five heads around me. What are you working on? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I can name, like, three people who you're
talking about. Yeah, I know. It's, we need to call them out. And then when Mike announced that he was opening Joymongers, they offered me his job. And it was really like... Are you sure? Really? You need me? Okay. And you know, it just worked out. I mean, I needed a really flexible schedule because we do have two young kids at home, and it's really important to me that I do continue some of my music activities, and this job allows me to do that because I have, you know, total control of, like, I make my schedule. So, you know, if I have to have a rehearsal in the middle of the afternoon, I clock out, right? You know, and I work my brewing schedule around it, you know, so I've got some rehearsals this week and I'm not brewing this week so that I can do that. So it's really, I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, I can't imagine like how this could have worked out any better.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I got, you know, I was able to train with Mike for 3 months, which is awesome. I can't imagine, this place is, it's a lot, right? I mean, as you saw on the tour, there's a lot of vessels here, there's a lot of tanks, there's a lot to learn, you know, going from a 10-gallon system to a 7-barrel system that, where you're putting out 1,200 barrels of beer a year.
Yeah, it sounds like you're dumping five or ten gallons at a time.
So you went directly from the pilot system to brewing here.
Yes.
Okay. We never brewed at production.
Yeah.
Which is a bigger vessel.
It is a bigger system,
but
yeah.
But still, you're here by yourself.
I'm here by myself. That's why, like, the training period was really luxurious, honestly. I mean, because I had a lot of time to encounter the problems you run into, and I had someone here to say, like, whoa, what's happening? Why is this happening? And he was, since he had been here for 9 years, he could say, oh, this is why this is happening. And I've, you know, and obviously I still have support from all the brewers at the production facility and, you know, and the brewer over there, and I have people who I can ask for help when I run into things where, like,
even on the outside, you have, you know, you have Gibbs,
Pryor,
friends, you still have Mike,
all these guys.
Yeah. That's a great thing about brewing.
Yeah, it is. It's very much, I wish it wasn't such a fraternity, but that's just what it is.
Hey, it's better than being in an industry where everything's super competitive. So, not that it's not.
It's pretty competitive.
No, I'm not saying that it's not competitive.
Right, right.
But people are willing to help people out, willing to exchange information.
Absolutely.
And it's not just like, why are you talking to me?
Right.
We're not friends.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah, no, all the other brewers here in Greensboro have been, you know, incredibly helpful. And there's, you know, we all, like, you know, sometimes, you know, if you, it's so, it's maybe super boring for the podcast, but sometimes you place a grain order and you don't get all the bags that you ordered. and so, you know, but you ordered the number of bags you needed specifically to make the recipes that you're trying to make. You realize, like, oh, I'm one bag of grain short for this beer. So, you know, I can call John, I can call Todd, I can say, like, hey, can I grab a bag of Pale Malt? I'll get you back next week. And they're like, yeah, sure, come get it. You know, or, you know, the brown porter, I didn't have Golden Tops. John had Golden Tops.
Perfect.
So, you know, and he was doing a Saison. I had some Tetnangs. So, you know, we did a hop trade. It's things like that that it's really, it is nice to have this really tight-knit community.
Because nobody wants anybody to put up bad beer.
No,
like,
exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah.
We all want everyone else to be doing well and succeeding. Because the more good beer is in Greensboro, the more of a beer destination this is.
Right, absolutely.
And
the more people expect
does.
Good beer, and the more they choose to go to breweries rather than just going to, you know, neighborhood bar that has Bud Light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even neighborhood bar that has, you know, bigger craft beer.
Has Asheville beer.
Right.
Like, you know, that you can get.
Yeah.
It's, you go to the source.
Right.
Yeah.
No, there definitely is. I think it's really cool seeing what's happening here right now. I mean, actually, I've lived here for 11 years, I think. I moved here in 2004. Oh, God. Maybe this is my 12th year. It's been a while. when I moved here, it was actually the year that Natty's opened. At that point, there was nothing downtown. It was really, like, this was the most lame downtown I had ever seen. and this pub really spearheaded kind of, like, the rebirth of this downtown.
Yeah.
And so, for me, I mean, to sort of come full circle with it, it feels really cool to, like, be the one brewing here at this place that, I mean, we had my wedding rehearsal dinner was here, our first baby shower was, you know, down the hall in the loft, like, you know, we've been coming to Natty's for years, and now, like, well, I work here. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So listen, you're the only one with beer in your glass.
I am, sorry. I'm
just staring at you like,
because this next beer is really special and exciting.
It is.
Every beer matters.
Every beer matters.
So this beer is a new IPA, and it was made in collaboration with Josh at Beer Co., who I think you guys have had on the show.
No, because he is a very shy person.
Oh, really?
He says this isn't his...
Oh, I, for some reason, I thought you guys had a
We
show.
Keep trying, and Josh, if you're listening, you should come on, because all we do is sit here and talk about beer.
And
I'll,
drink it.
I'll coerce him.
You should.
I'll try.
We'll see him on Thursday, too.
Yes. So anyway, so their two-year anniversary celebration starts on Thursday and goes through the weekend, and for Thursday, a bunch of brewers have sent Josh sort of special or new beers. And since I'm right around the corner, he and I thought it would be really cool to put our heads together and kind of brainstorm a beer together, and then he came over for the brew day. And so it's very much a collaboration between the two of us. It's called Tropic Soul IPA. I have to name all the beers, and so I try to get creative with those. This beer was sort of inspired by a New England IPA by Treehouse Brewing called Julius. If you Google it, it looks like a glass of orange juice. I don't know quite how they make it so opaque and bright. I mean, it's bright orange.
Yeah.
But so that was sort of the inspiration. I actually haven't had Julius, but I know enough people who have had it who have told me about it kind of in depth that I felt like I had a good kind of jumping off point. And Josh has had it.
Okay, so that definitely
Helps. So that was very much like the inspiration for the beer. So as you can see, it's orange. I mean, it's maybe trending closer to amber. It's copper, but I was trying to get some orange hue into it. So the grain bill for this is pale malt, some Gambrinus honey malt, which is a Canadian malt, which gives you a little sweetness, and some crystal malt to get some of the color in it. And for the hops, I used Eldorado, Centennial, and Simcoe. I shut up.
Simcoe is another great hop.
Right, but it really fit the profile, right? So Eldorado is very tropical fruit forward. Simcoe is very grapefruity. Yeah. And I wanted to balance out some of that tropical fruit with Centennial because it's got a little more of the floral and the classic bitterness that we expect from an American IPA.
Is that what you use the bitter, Centennial?
Well, it's a funny thing about bittering. I don't want to give away all the secrets, but so this, the hopping schedule for this beer only included first wort, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, and whirlpool.
Okay.
So there is not technically a bittering charge in
this
beer.
We've been experimenting with first wort hopping.
Yeah, first wort hopping is really cool. I actually just found an article about it from a German beer publication, of all places, where they translate everything into English, and it's great. and apparently there's some... When you do first wort hopping versus like a hop addition at the beginning of the boil, it's not as violent of an environment, you know, compared to a boiling environment.
Yeah.
And so the aroma compounds in the hops get encapsulated by the compounds in the wort and get kind of protected. So when the boil does start, you don't lose all those aroma compounds. And so what I've been doing, we're experimenting with a lot, is instead of using like a traditional bittering hop as the first charge, where you lose all the aromas, it doesn't really matter, you're just going for high alpha acids.
Yeah, it just volatilizes.
Right, I'm using some of these more interesting, like sexy hops in the first wort, because you get your alpha acid bittering from that addition, but then it also hangs on to the aroma compounds, so you're still getting aroma from these nicer, more expensive hops at the end of the day. This one, I mean, it's more bitter than I was aiming for. It's like 81 IBUs.
I don't think it's that bitter, though.
It's got more of a, like, zest bitter.
Yeah.
Right. What I like about it, too, again, here's another gross thing for me to say about something in your mouth, but it's I feel like it's really, like, juicy when you drink it in your mouth.
Oh, we say that all the time.
Yeah.
Things are juicy? Yeah.
Juicy.
It is, like, biting into some kind of tropical
fruit. Yeah,
fruit.
It's just, yeah.
Maybe even, like, an orange.
Right.
I get, like,
yeah.
A very orange.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm really happy with how it turned out. I think, you know, Josh has had it. He's really pleased with it. So I'm excited. And we're kind of for the first time ever we're doing this. This beer is debuting at Beer Co. on Thursday at this party, and it won't be on tap here until it's been on tap there.
How much are you giving him?
I give him 2 6 souls. So it'll be gone on Thursday.
Yeah, you guys
I'm
will
sure
blow
we'll
through
be,
that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's gonna be a ton of people going.
Including
we will be
podcast.
There.
Yes, we will be there on Thursday.
I think it'll be later in the evening, but we will definitely be there.
Maybe earlier.
I'll be
we'll
late at 2. I'm working, so I could pop over, have a beer, and go back to work. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll pop over here and say hi.
You could I'll be here.
Then. Around. But yeah, this party sounds like it's going to be a really cool thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good beer. I know Todd just took his beer over.
Mm-hmm. He's made a special sour.
And everything Todd makes is fantastic. Todd has been on the podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the 2-year anniversary, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we haven't talked about exactly
what it is.
Yeah.
It's
so Beer Co. on what street is that? McGee?
It's McGee Street.
Yeah. Downtown Greensboro. It's literally half a block from the pub.
It is.
They've got like six or seven taps.
There's six taps and bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could the cool thing about that place is you can either pick up the bottles to go, or you can pop those bottles
mm-hmm.
there and drink it.
Yeah.
And they also serve off the taps.
Plus a cooler space, so there's a lot of things cold. Most of what's on the shelf is also in the cooler as singles cold.
Okay.
So it makes it a really cool space.
Yeah, and if you follow them on Instagram, they often will post, like, new beer today, which for me is great. Like, they have the Rodenbach Alexander, and I was here at work, and literally, it was a brew day. I was just waiting for, like, the hot liquor tank to fill, and I was just flipping through my phone, and I was like, oh shit, he's got Alexander. So I literally walked out. I was like, fuck it. I turned off the water, walked out the door, bought a bottle of Alexander, came back, and carried out with my day.
I don't think we've talked about this yet.
No, we haven't talked about it. We popped open a bottle.
You did?
Yes, we have had it.
Okay. We have not opened ours yet.
Oh,
okay,
my God,
well,
dude.
Two of our best friends just had a baby, and we've been saving it for after they had the baby, and they're ready to, like, be drinking again.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a great occasion.
Yeah, they're sour fanatics, and so I'm really...
It's amazing. Jeff picked up two bottles from Bestway.
Mm-hmm.
Their last two bottles.
Oh no, we were actually...
Nice.
We were at the Pun Potables food truck festival.
Right.
And they had one bottle left.
Oh my God.
We got
it. So we snagged it.
Yeah.
There were like hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
We got it.
Awesome.
The next day.
Another great bottle shop.
Oh yeah.
We love Popo.
Fantastic.
Which is Potent Potables.
Yeah.
In High Point.
Best name.
In Jamestown.
Jamestown, I'm sorry.
In
yes.
Jamestown.
Best name
of all. Next to Southern
time.
Roots.
Yeah.
If you like good food. They're really good. We were there recently, but I digress. later that week, Jeff
that
went.
Yes. Hard at work on the podcast.
Yes.
Jeff went to Bestway. He picked up two bottles. He
okay.
texted me. He goes, "They have two bottles," and I said, "Why are you texting me? Just buy both of them."
yeah.
When he was offered his new job
mm-hmm.
at Pig Pounder, we opened up one of the bottles.
Okay. Nice.
Because we had three.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Fuck you.
So fucking well.
God.
Oh my God.
Whoa, wait. Just wait.
This beer, you guys, if you can get your hands on this beer, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You said you were worried that it was being overhyped.
I was
it's
worried.
Not
it's
not overhyped.
But look, they've only released it. This is the third time ever they've released this beer. The
yeah.
last time was in 1999.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
You know, that's why, I mean, when they posted it, I was like, I'm stopping
you
everything
have
that I'm
to
doing.
Get it.
And literally, I mean, I don't know, 500 feet from their door. They posted it. I literally saw it. Like, I refreshed my feed. It was the first thing. I walked out the door. There were already five bottles gone.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? And, like, I couldn't be any closer. And somebody else got there before
me. All the guys at the tattoo shop just
yeah,
popped right
no,
up.
I know. So, it's... I mean,
I don't know. It's sour, but not too sour.
Right.
It's like
a great cherry flavor.
Yeah. Well, the Rodenbach Grand Cru was the first sour beer I ever had.
That was a great intro.
Yeah. Right. Although you know, what I figured out recently. I was reading. I was listening to a podcast where they were interviewing the guy who is was the originator of Blue Moon.
Okay.
And he did his PhD in yeast science in Belgium.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was... That guy, I mean, I know, like, everyone talks shit about Blue Moon. He's a genius. That guy knows what he's doing.
No, they
I
sell
mean,
the hell out of Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Also, well, that's a style of beer that emerged when that style wasn't...
Wasn't
popular at all.
Right, but
yeah.
So, I mean, so he's fluent in Flemish. He was, like, a teaching assistant in Belgium, was teaching classes in French and Flemish in brewing science. I mean, he's a yeast scientist at the heart of it, which I didn't know. I always just thought, like, Blue
that's
Moon
awesome.
Was, like, this Miller... thing, but no, it was actually produced by a guy who's like a legit beer scientist. But he was sort of recounting his experience of going to Belgium, and the first thing they bought when he and his wife got over there was a lambic, and they dumped it out because they were like, "Oh my God, what's wrong with this beer? This beer has gone bad," and they dumped it out. And it reminded me a few years ago for my wife's birthday. We almost always have like beer parties to celebrate our birthdays because we're children. And we have birthday parties, whatever. I don't
that's
know.
It's not childish.
All right.
Childish.
But I had gone to Bestway and bought this really nice French cider. And we opened it. And this was long before we were as beer nerdy as we are now. And we opened it and we drank it. And everybody was like, something's wrong with this cider. So actually, I took it back to Bestway the next day. And she exchanged it for me. She, you know, like they gave me another bottle. And we took it home. It tasted the same. And what I was, and we dumped them both out. They were expensive. It's just not. I mean, it was like, you know, champagne bottle size, and they were not cheap. And I realized when listening to the Blue Moon guy tell his story, it was probably supposed to be sour. It was probably like, it probably had Brett in it or was
yeah.
Asian barrels or something, and we just didn't know at that point. Same thing with him. Like he got a lambic, and didn't
and
know it was
know.
Supposed to be sour.
Yeah.
So we dumped
that's
it.
Hilarious.
Sorry, I totally interrupted your
story. It was a great story, because if I didn't know what sour beers were when I first had one, I would have had the same reaction.
Yeah.
So we posted a photo of us drinking the Alexander on our Facebook or Instagram, which we often do, and I hope you guys all like and follow us.
Yes.
And Jordan Miller,
mm-hmm.
That sassy friend of ours, commented with, "Where's my bottle?"
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Did you give him one?
Well,
hell no.
Wait. He gets his. Because the next day, he calls probably every bottle shop in drivable distance. He finds out that the Brewer's Kettle in Kernersville has some. He goes over there, buys 4 bottles.
Did he also get some Cantillon when he was there? He keeps talking about Cantillon.
No, I don't know.
Right.
Well,
he may have.
He says there's 4 bottles. I got 4 bottles. I left 1 bottle on the shelf. And 5 minutes before, Jeff's like, "My parents want us to go to dinner over there." It's like, "Oh, it's Sunday. I don't want to go anywhere." And Jordan says, I literally jumped off the couch and were like, "Get dressed. We're going."
Did you get the last
one?
We
did.
Oh,
we got it.
Man, you jerk.
She's like, we gotta go.
I hope you're going to save a few of them for many, many years.
Well, the night before, Jeff said, he goes, "We're not opening another bottle until we have a kid."
Great idea.
Yeah. And then again, and then we said, "We want to drink one in like 17 years.
I've got the over under on you guys totally opening one when you get married."
Okay. We have a few
sours. We have some sours for that.
But I said, "We gotta go. I am not waiting till I have a kid to try this beer again."
Well, you know, speaking of that, a friend of mine who lives in Miami, who works in finance and is probably the nerdiest beer nerd I know, he sent me a bottle of Pliny the Elder when we had our second kid, but I had never had that one, because he untapped it, and I was like, "How the fuck did you get Pliny in Miami? Like, that beer doesn't go to Miami."
It goes to Philly, and that's about it.
Yeah, and he was like, "Oh, I actually have another one, you want it?" And I was like, what does that kid do? And I was like, "I will send you a message." And sure enough, you know, he does a lot of beer trades to the mail, so I was like, "Hey, we just had the kid." He was like, "Cool, give me your address."
And what did you think of it?
I mean, it was fantastic. And it wasn't a fresh one either. And it was
really
fantastic.
Man.
Is it worth the hype?
I don't know. I mean, it was 5 years ago now.
I say no. I had it last year.
Did you? I haven't had it. I just can't imagine. Because
Justin, who
that's like one of
Natty's,
the most hyped beers ever.
I gotta say that I would rather a Heady Topper any day of the week. I think Heady Topper's a better beer, in my opinion.
It was just about a year ago that you had Heady Topper.
Yeah,
I had them similar times.
Okay, I did. I've had each of those beers, but
and I think the Pliny was too much
time.
I couldn't possibly.
I think
compare.
The Pliny was just like overhyped for me.
Wow,
like to be like the best IPA in the world.
Right. Well, I think Pliny the Younger, the triple IPA, is the one that often is given that title.
That's
of like the best one.
Well,
and
they don't bottle it.
No, you can only get that.
It's only draft.
Yeah.
To say, if things go according to plan, we will be drinking.
Is everyone drinking?
Yeah, I know.
You
sorry. Alyssa has both hands on the table.
We'll be drinking
Heady
Topper at the long-awaited wedding of Cecily and Joe, because Cecily's grandmother lives in Vermont. And
she stockpiles her refrigerator with this shit.
I actually have a Heady Topper source.
Well, what do you... We'll talk about that off air.
We'll chat later.
Yeah, well, until this summer, I for the last 5 years, have taught at a summer music program in upstate New York, and the bass teacher there, he literally drives past The Alchemist on his way to school. He's a public school music teacher. He drives past The Alchemist every single day of the week.
Oh, also, heads up, my mom lives in New Hampshire now, and they don't have alcohol tax there, and also, that's... up that way too. So,
good to know.
He tried to get me some Heady Topper last summer, because he usually, like, it's a 2-week program, and he usually goes home to hang with his wife for the weekend, and he tried, but they were like, "Oh yeah, man, you gotta be here on Wednesday."
it's just like Pliny, like, you are allotted like one bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
When you go. And it's like a certain day.
Right.
And it's gone.
But honestly, I would take anything from The Alchemist.
Oh, I would too.
They make other things.
That's just the whale of
right,
the
I know, but I mean, you know, I think you know...
Gotta have that mantelpiece.
Sure, of course, but I mean, I don't, you know, the whole idea of, like, the whale beer doesn't interest me a lot. You know, I don't do beer trades, I don't, you know... There's some, like this guy, Mike, I mean, he goes to Darkness Day every year at Surly Brewing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he brings home, like, a suitcase of Surly beer every year, and then just drinks it throughout the year. He divvies it up. I'm sure if I, like, bottled something special for him, he would send Mike, if you're listening. I would like some Surly beer. But, you know, I'm not, you know, he also doesn't have kids, you know.
So
he can just go.
He just buy a shit ton of beer.
All right, I have to get a babysitter to stay at our house.
We follow someone on our Instagram who, in turn, follows us. I'm pretty sure listens, so if... Eat, Drink, Race.
Yeah, that's his
name. We're chatting about you. But literally every time he posts a photo, he has like 30 bottles of the latest Wicked Weed.
Mm.
Like,
he's like, here's my haul for the week. And it's a shit ton of
Does he
bottles.
Live in Asheville?
No, he lives in South Carolina. But I think he lives close enough to
probably.
Asheville.
Yeah.
So it's like an hour drive.
And, and he's always just posting like these huge beer hauls. And we're like, holy shit, this guy is like... living life, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Also, I just want to put out a formal invitation to anybody that would like to brag about the beer that they have. You're welcome to come be a guest and share the beer that you have with us.
I see what you're doing.
What? But what you're saying about whale beers, I much prefer to go to the brewery and try what they don't can or bottle,
right.
What their small batch stuff is.
I've been getting this theme lately when I go to a new brewery. I want to try their English Mild, or I want to try their Pale Ale, or I want to try their Pilsner. Like, I've really sort of...
We do light beers, too.
You know, I love going to a brewery and just trying, like, the most standard basic thing they have. Because if they're doing that well, they're probably doing everything else well.
Yeah.
Jet, we were just talking
That's
about
what I
that.
Tell her every time.
Because there's nothing
to
hide behind.
Exactly. And it's funny, I just ran through some Pilsner here. And the Pilsner is a beer here that doesn't sell very well, except when brewers come to visit. You know, or like, the guy that owns Catawba was in here a few weeks ago. Because people just stop it, you know.
Yeah.
They just stop through and... I saw them. Whenever I see people in Dickies with a brewery logo, I try to go, oh, you probably work for somewhere. So I usually go try to chat them up, you know? And it's, you know, what are you drinking? Oh, I'm having the Pilsner. And it's like, man, I wish our regular customers would come in and get excited about the Pilsner, you know?
Yeah.
Or we had a Vienna Lager in the fall. And again, like, it's just, I was just, like, staring at the tank, waiting for people to drink more of this beer. But literally every, like, beer industry person that came in, and they'd see what's on tap, they all, to a T, the first one they would order, give me the Vienna Lager, you know?
Because
you're
trying to find the thing that could have the flaw.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We're all super judgy.
I've said for forever, like, even before I got super nerdy about beer, like, the American standard beer is a lager.
Of course.
And if you can make a lager that impresses the shit out of me, you've done something good.
Yeah.
Especially considering how temperamental lagers are and how difficult they are to transport and all of those factors. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, as we were at LBC, Brewing Company.
They, like, can't do anything wrong.
Dude,
we were there.
Shit, I'm sorry. They're awesome.
What was that, the Day of Hickory Hops?
That was the
Day of Hickory Hops. Yeah, because you tested Mike and
said,
hey, tell them they won these gold medals.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we were
talking
ordered.
To the
yeah. So when the text came through of what they won, we were literally speaking to the bartender and ordering our flight.
That's
and
awesome.
We're like, well, now we know exactly what we're going to get. And we got their Pilsner, the Check Yourself.
The Check Yourself, is just,
and
oh my god.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so was their Mosaic Pale Ale.
Funny thing about Hickory Hops, for the second half of the festival that I was there, I ceased boring and I changed shirts and went and drank. I'm not kidding about how much I love Mosaic Hops. I basically just went around and drank every beer that had Mosaic Hops. Because at the time I had a mostly Mosaic IPA on, and I was just curious what other people were doing with it.
Yeah.
I had a crazy Saison that had Mosaic, that was dry hop Mosaic,
that
was about
awesome.
As awesome
that
as you think
delicious.
It sounds.
Yeah.
There's
a party going on right down the hall from us.
And
but yeah,
this
that
is coming from a sorority woman. It sounds like like drunk sorority girls.
There's
blue
girls there.
Getting woolly.
Yeah, getting woolly.
But yeah, the Linwood
yeah.
Mosaic Pale was one of my favorite mosaic themed things. It was just, it was a beautiful representation of that.
We were disappointed because they didn't have, what was it?
Their Galaxy Pale.
The Galaxy
we
Pale.
We are really
which
into Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Derek at Small Batch does a galactic wheat beer. I think he uses Galaxy in that.
Ooh.
We're going to be doing
fantastic.
A dry hop cider with Galaxy in it.
Awesome.
Which we're very excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like ciders, I think.
I love
yeah.
cider.
We always have
yeah.
a cider on it.
Right.
Yes.
I remember when you started doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so far it's worked out pretty good for us.
Cool. Yeah.
It's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love having a beer,
they
but...
keep getting better, too.
They do.
And they're delicious every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you know, sometimes it's nice. You're just, a cider is just a nice way to change it up sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like ciders.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago has a couple cider-only bars now, which I think is maybe slightly overkill.
I don't know about that.
Where it's all just, you know, it's just ciders. All the draft lines are ciders.
Yes.
Well, I just discovered there's a place in Durham, like Black Twig Cider House.
Yes, yeah. I haven't been there, but I've heard of them.
And we just discovered it's all ciders from like
all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And all over the country. And then they also do like bar and pub food.
Yeah.
Which would be really interesting to go, because sometimes you do go to like a bar or like a craft beer place and you don't see any craft ciders.
Right.
So I guess I can see where the allure to open a like a craft cider only
right.
place would be, especially to people who are like gluten free
right.
and stuff.
Well,
like that.
Part of it too, like I mean I could make ciders here, but it's a different tax code. And the taxes I believe are higher on cider because it's not classified.
Yeah.
It's not classified the same under TTB. So you have to pay.
Also, is it a different license as well?
I think the license is the same. I don't know. I don't want to like.
I think it's different.
Spew. I mean,
because we couldn't make it a production.
Yeah.
But you can't. I think it falls under a different license. Like we're trying to get wine
right.
to serve at Pig Pounder, but we have to get a different license
yeah.
to serve it.
But you guys always have a cider.
We do have cider. We can serve cider.
If it's under 7% alcohol, it doesn't. It's
just a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a research topic. Because on my state tax form that I do every month, there's a place for things other than beer.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you have to have a different license
yeah,
for it.
I think so too. But we serve. I mean, but again, we serve cider. Like
you
bottles,
can serve
cider.
It. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just producing.
Producing
it.
Right.
is different.
Yeah.
But you know, so people are
those
doing.
Guys are so overworked. I mean, you know, we don't really know. But yeah, but I think that's one of those things that you don't want to. You don't want to put in your time and the material costs
mm-hmm.
for something that might actually not be legal.
Yeah.
That would
right.
have to
yeah.
get dumped.
Yeah.
You know,
they
so
just
so
come
they
over
and
they
find.
Open tango.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think so much of what I do here, too, is like, yes, you think about ingredient costs, and yes, you think about, like, you know, profit margins and stuff, but a lot of it is like, you know, if you screw up a brew day, like, during cast out, you can't get that time back. You know, like, you just spent 8.5 or 9 hours of your life producing this liquid, and you screw it up at the end, and it's like, you can't get it back, you know?
Yeah.
And for me personally, a lot of ways, that's sometimes more important. It's like, I'm always super cautious at cast out time. I don't want anyone talking to me. I don't want to focus because I don't want to screw up right now because I, you know, it
that's
took me.
That's the home stretch.
It, yeah, exactly. You're dying. You're so close. And, you know, you don't want to.
I just got to get in the tank and we're good.
The yeast is just waiting. It's just hug me. Sugar, hug me. I need you. You know? Give me sugar and oxygen and I'll be good. So, yeah, I think that's sort of, you know, where I am with the cider thing. Like since I don't know if it's legal, I don't want to spend the time
yeah.
to produce it. And
I probably wouldn't.
Just dump it.
No.
You know?
Because usually you see, like, just cideries. You don't find a lot. The only brewery I know of is AMB.
Yep.
Yeah, and which
yes.
I just recently
oh, man,
just
the rhubarb one?
Yeah.
It's a
holy
green,
crap.
Green tea rhubarb cider.
That sounds
amazing. Oh my god, it was
yeah.
amazing.
It's dry, it's
mm-hmm.
not sweet,
right.
which is like right up my alley.
We
yeah.
kicked that cake at work.
That
way.
Is.
It's good.
Oh my god, it was good.
Oh,
it's bizarre,
good.
But
really
like,
good.
It just blends
It wasn't super dry. It was a little sweet.
It was a little sweet at the end, but it's not. I don't like syrupy sweet.
Did you guys have it on at Pig Pounder?
We did.
Okay.
We kicked it.
Gotcha. Do you guest taps there?
We do. We have like 8. Yeah. We have a lot of guest taps. But we only have like 6 beers.
That's true.
And I think we're slowly transitioning to new beers and stuff.
That's cool.
But yeah, we have a lot of cool guest taps. And I'm in charge of that now.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I get to do some cool things.
Yeah.
Which means every once in a while, Jeff will message me for, like, decision, this keg or this keg.
Oh,
and
that's
I can...
cool. Yeah, we did guest taps for Beer Month in April, and that was fun to have, you know. That's another way to get to know other breweries and build relationships.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool to just get some other beer in here and... You know, I think
it kind of changes things up.
Yeah, and I tried to sort of hit up styles that I wasn't doing, you know, so that way we could offer something that's not typical of what's on offer here, so our customers could learn about some other styles. We had 2 different saisons, and, you know, but such is life.
Yeah.
And a triple. So I got kind of Belgian heavy.
No,
now that I think about it,
I'm
sensing a trend.
I don't
understand. 5 beers were Belgian.
That is
too
okay.
Many saisons, there's no such thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we did the blood orange saison from Small Batch that Derek did. It was delicious. I actually got the last keg. I was very happy. And it was only because his bartender screwed up. They tapped the wrong keg next. And so there was this lonely 6-soul just waiting for me. And Hogger sent over the Milfleur.
Milfleur is so fantastic. Everything they do is
good.
Yeah,
I try to keep... I'm going to start keeping, like, only NC beers on.
Yeah.
So...
There's so many to choose from.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to start, like, going out to actual little breweries and getting them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them don't distribute.
Right.
They're only producing, what, 5,000 barrels, if that.
Yeah. I think we did 4 Saints. We had their Honey Ginger Pale, the St. Luke, which is like 9.5%. That was a really nice beer. The ginger was handled, like, it was just enough ginger to know it was there, but not overpowering.
Yeah.
We got the Rickshaw Rye from Crank Arm. I love that beer. I just love that beer. I really like rye IPAs, and it's a great example of that style. And Derek also, I saw that she gave me the raspberry triple that he did over there as well. And that was a beast. It was like 10.5%. It was a huge beer. And then we also had the Conspiracy Gone Sour, the Triad Brewers collaboration that we did over there. And Gibbs gave me the Berliner Weiss, the Worldly Gig.
Nice.
So I think, you know, we had a nice...
I love Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, and that's such a good beer
so
that they
good.
Do over there. So I thought it was you know, it was a good selection of stuff that, you know, isn't...
It wasn't the same thing over and over.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that was
just all IPAs.
And it's not stuff that you've had before.
Right, yeah. I was really trying to highlight breweries, with the exception of Gibbs, because you could walk there from here. But I was trying to highlight breweries that you'd have to get in the car and drive to from Greensboro and maybe, you know, sort of get some more exposure to some other breweries that are drivable from Greensboro that maybe people don't know about, you know. And so that was, you know, I like doing that for Beer Month. It's a cool thing. And they, you know, of course, we all did beer trades, so they all took different kegs of stuff that I had on offer. You know, now this weekend, I think I'm Friday, I've got to go deliver all the... got to get my kegs back and return all these empties. And I have a pile of empty kegs in the cooler right now that I need to... They need Bella to go home, and I need my kegs back.
Maybe I'm going to get a pint out of it, too.
Maybe. It's okay if I don't. Or just bring, you know, I can bring growlers. Maybe, you know, I want to see these other breweries, too. Because it just kind of worked out. Everybody came to me to drop off the beer.
Oh,
wow.
Can't beat that.
That's convenient.
Can't beat that. But so I feel sort of obligated to go to them to deliver the beer, you know.
That's...
And, you know, a lot of that involved, like, hey, here, try this stuff I have on tap. Here, check this thing out in the tank. Here, have a tour, you know.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so fascinating, you know, obviously, like, the steps are the same for all of us, but everybody's brewery is engineered differently.
Mm-hmm.
They're all set up
differently.
Yeah,
all the weird little nuances.
Quirks.
Every facility has its quirk. Where like,
and the most interesting thing to me about going to do those tours is when people are like, if this one thing was different, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Or like, I couldn't live without this.
Yeah.
So it's always just those tiny little...
I mean, if I could make this place one level... Man,
you're on the subway.
I mean, I've got. I mean, boy, have I gotten in good shape working.
I bet your
here.
Calves look great going
my,
up.
My
down.
Calves and my arms are like they've changed.
Yeah, he has to take all the spent grain.
Man,
downstairs. Yeah,
oh,
so like
wow.
Like those big brute trash cans are out in the parking lot. I fill those with wet grain and then drag them downstairs. and then out to the parking lot.
Oh, so you are getting the authentic homebrew experience.
Yeah. And we have a farmer who comes and picks up our spent grain.
Okay,
that's
awesome.
He feeds his cows and pigs.
That's awesome.
It's crazy, man. He brings a pickup truck and like he just shut. Like, he brings one of his farmhands, and they, I don't know how they do it. These things are so heavy, and they just, like, heave-ho them up. And he'll have so much grain in there that, like, the bottom of his truck is, like, scraping the road. And he just goes off, and I'm like, don't look, don't look.
Take it.
But yeah, no, he's great. His name's Wilson. He's awesome. And he's, you know, like, one day, I don't know what happened. He usually comes on Saturday mornings, and it was one of these weeks where I had done 6 beers in a week, and I came in on Sunday morning to do readings, and all the grain was still out there. I was like, fuck. You know, because I had to do 6 more beers the next week, and I had no more empty cans. I used all my cans. So I left a message for him. I was like, hey, I know, it's like, I probably should have called you earlier in the week, but, you know, I need like 28 cans next week empty, and I've got about 24 in the parking lot. And I stopped by, I had some gigs that day, and when I came back in the evening, he had come, and all the cans, I had all the cans I needed. It was great. He's awesome. I don't know what I would do with
you
that.
You just posted free food, and he's like, yeah, I'll be there, man.
Yeah, I know.
I got
sure.
this.
Yeah. Yeah, we also do like the Brew Barkers things with the spent grain for the dog treats.
Yes.
Which is a great,
which is awesome.
Great program. It's a bakery that's fully staffed by adult, mentally retarded people. And so, like, they get, they have a job, you know, they do these dog treats. I mean, they must do other things, too, besides the dog treats.
I think there's a bunch of other stuff they do.
Yeah, but it's a really, like, it's a great organization to be involved with. I think it's cool.
We get excited whenever we see the treats in, like, stores or wherever we go.
Yeah, we see them at, All Pets Considered.
Yeah, that's a
big place.
Yeah, and we usually have some here down at the bar too. That grain doesn't come specifically from me, but
dogs love them. Our dog loves them.
Yeah,
as
does my dog.
Yeah.
It's just like spent grain, peanut butter, and I think that's it.
Probably some flour.
Yeah, that's about it.
And I know when we collect enough spent grain of our own, we.
Yes,
we
you make those chocolate cherry spent grain bars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
haven't done this
in
a long time.
We were making dog treats, too, for a while, but yeah, we got to get
back
to making.
Why didn't you make those with the brown ale spent grain?
What's
wrong with you?
Yeah.
You guys dropped the ball on that one.
Well, we're going to have to do it again for the wedding.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
We'll
have another 20 pounds of stuff.
That's true. Yeah. Are you, like, brewing your own beer for the wedding?
We're brewing it for Joe and Cecily.
Oh,
okay,
gotcha.
Yeah.
But we may... I don't know. We're still debating because I don't think with the venue we can.
We can't bring out our own venue we chose, but they do have a brewery in the works of being built downstairs that will brew us something specific and special our wedding.
That's awesome.
Which I think will be really cool.
What was
cool.
he called? It was like something troll.
Can you just
hand him a recipe?
Yeah, here, I serve you.
The Angry Troll.
It's in Elkin.
So
it's in production. I don't. They're gonna be really small.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they literally have like a 20-gallon.
Yeah,
you
kettle.
Know, I think that stuff is great. I mean, because the brewer's like that. Like you walk in, you're never gonna have the same thing twice.
Yeah,
no, it's
you know?
Just gonna be. It's gonna be like small batch. It's gonna be like
exactly.
Gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna have like a.
The venue
one barrel system over there.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
The venue has like a bar up front, and they
yeah.
have like a kitchen. Obviously, they cater to the venue, but they also do like lunch and brunches and stuff. So,
well,
like
it really came out when we were like, "Well, I work at a brewery,
yeah.
and we also have a beer podcast." And she just lit up. She was like, "Well, there's a brewery opening up downstairs."
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it sounds like they're all gonna be working together because like the bridal suite area
mm-hmm.
is downstairs where the brewery is gonna be, and she's like, yeah, the girls will be in here, and then all the guys can hang out in the brewery while they get ready and stuff. Because
the girls
don't
want to drink.
Yeah, I better get a pitcher of something. But that's,
they're all beer drinkers.
I think the girl should get the bar. I mean,
yeah,
right.
I want the bar. I
you
want
should get the bar.
Yeah,
you
guys can go in
the
stuffy
suite.
Room.
No, yeah. I don't want to be in there.
I don't want to be
I'm too
there.
Tall for that room.
You're not too tall.
Is it like cooler downstairs?
Yes.
Like,
I had to like jump.
Okay.
There's like lights and stuff. I had to like
yeah, it's
slouch my head.
You will feel like a little troll. Like, it is a little type.
Oh, yeah, there's pipes and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like,
but
I almost hit my head. Awesome.
Yeah. But it's going to be really cool.
It's a
nuance
kind of thing.
And it's cool
mm-hmm.
to see, like, those little places popping up
yeah.
here and there that are specific to what the community needs.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because they only have Skull Camp there. Have you
yeah.
ever even heard of Skull Camp?
I have heard of Skull Camp.
Okay, that's the only brewery.
In like, yeah.
In that
no
area.
Idea where Elkin is. I'm trying to, like, picture it out.
It's
about so, as you drive toward Boone,
okay.
all the city names become closer and closer to the names of animals.
Right. Well, I used to teach in Lenore, so I used to go out that way.
It's like an hour
week.
From
it's
here.
It's
like
basically here. Like an exactly an hour.
Oh, it's not too bad.
It's
yeah.
So, yeah, so it's not too bad. And it's really charming, and, like, the town is really quiet and quaint.
Sure.
And
cool.
And we're going to play some really loud music and be crazy.
Drunk.
Absolutely.
And drink some
great beers.
Yeah,
some
angry troll beer.
You should give him a 2-beer limit for the reception.
Him?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. That's terrible. Don't listen to this.
What, do you need to be drunk to get married to me?
Oh,
came
out for the reception.
Just kidding, guys. That guy's
party.
Begging me to marry him. And on that note, please rate and subscribe. We're on iTunes. When you rate, it really helps us show up on other people's feeds as suggested.
It helps
podcasts.
Us show up in iTunes. And
yeah.
here's the thing, okay? We're just kind of hitting that point where we can viably start showing up on the front page of iTunes, and if everybody rates and reviews us on iTunes, that could really help.
It literally takes like 5 seconds.
That would
yeah.
be awesome.
You know what you could do, which is really fun, a comedy podcast that I listen to, she always, when the podcast first started, she would give some asinine quote. She'd be like, put this in the review. And it'd be like, this podcast sucks. But they give it 5 stars. Or like, and like every week she would have just some like crazy thing. Like,
that's a great idea. What's our quote?
We'll come back to you.
Bogus Bunsen Bean, which are the three farmers and the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay.
There
you go.
All right, so this week, 5 stars, Bogus Bunsen Bean.
And if you rate...
If I see this, I will give you a growler of anything we have on tap and a free t-shirt.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
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 That's
yeah.
a big...
That's a good deal.
If
and,
I see it.
And the bigger we get, guys, the better these things will be.
Absolutely.
Because that,
yeah.
that's our goal. Because
I would love to have the guy that made Blue Moon on here. That
yeah.
would be awesome. You guys would love that. We would all love that.
So...
You'd probably have to go to him.
That's a
well,
we can
yeah.
Skype them.
Sure,
yeah, we
can
yeah,
Skype
them. Yeah.
We actually have a potential Skype interview in the works, which we'll talk
awesome.
To you soon.
I haven't heard
anything
about this
yet. No, it's all new stuff. It's
sorry,
lots of new stuff.
I interrupted your intro and the outro.
Gosh!
Boy, my
it's
podcast
okay.
manners need
they
to work.
They hear us all the time. They're like, subscribe! They're like, I'm already subscribed, I hope. And
all you guys who aren't subscribing, you should.
Yeah.
Also, I'm actually not subscribed to.
What the hell?
What?
I just like because you put it on Facebook. When I do, I just click on the listen now
oh,
thing
man.
At the website.
All right. Well, after
download
this,
Stitcher
I'm going to take your phone.
Subscribe.
Well, I use the. I use Podcast
okay.
Addict.
Perfect.
So, are you
that's
on
perfect.
There?
Yeah.
We're on Podcast Addict. We're on Stitcher. Right. We're on
any,
a lot of things.
Any
so,
podcast.
Just. Just to let everyone at home know, since you brought it up,
yeah.
The analytics we got on the website don't mm-hmm. translate into sponsorships. They have to be subscribed.
Well,
and that is why it's important that you guys subscribe so that we can afford to have gas to go to cool people.
Yeah.
We could drink cool beer and go to cool places.
Sorry, that's how we let
people,
people
to listen.
All right.
And it, I know. It's, all right. It's a,
and that's how they get to find out that we're nagging them to subscribe.
Sure, yeah. Fair
yeah,
yeah,
that's
cool.
how we get into
cool.
people. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Untappd, where we often, as much as we can remember, rate the beers that we drink.
This is the longest self-serving plug section I think we've ever had.
You should, when you edit this, you should put some background music.
Like violins. Like,
so do you want to do it? Just
no.
Send us.
You guys don't have no sponsorship to pay me. For
oh,
plug section, I'm sorry.
Rude. Oh, so rude.
Sorry.
Here we are.
It's just the reality.
We're
of
basically
that.
Free sponsorship.
I gave you free beer.
Yeah, it's true.
That's
true. Right.
I don't
it's
give
delicious.
Away free cello.
That's
sorry.
Fine. That's I wouldn't give away free flute
yep.
music, so
right.
I
you wouldn't
it.
You wouldn't edit my articles for free, maybe with your English degree.
Well, if I was trying to get more work,
the first
it's
five
on spec. It's on spec.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway, we're on social media. For you to find us. We hope you like or follow. And subscribe and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in.
Oh, also, wait.
Oh,
I want to do one more thing. One more thing. I just want to let you know
so endless.
Upcoming events, like upcoming people that
okay.
we plan to get on.
Oh,
oh
no.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
So look out for some great breweries. Four Saints.
Yeah.
Noda Brewing Company. Gate City Growlers here in Greensboro.
I'm just waiting for Alyssa to be like, why did you say that one out loud?
Oh, no. Yes. All good stuff.
I think that's it for now.
That's it.
Those
awesome.
Are the three big ones that we got to figure
out.
Those
three big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
So, and we will be at the Beer Co. party.
Anniversary
yeah.
party.
Anniversary
yes.
party.
Which
it's
by
coming
podcast
Thursday.
Math is tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. On Thursday, the
19th.
Thursday
the 19th.
The 19th.
Which is also my mom's birthday,
yeah.
and I know you don't listen to this, but
awesome.
Happy birthday.
It's
happy
also
birthday.
The first city market on Thursday when the theme is homebrew. There's actually going to be some free samples from Natty's and from Four Saints.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
So
bringing it all full circle.
Also cool.
Yeah. And then, because I should plug one thing for my actual job.
Do it.
Thursdays after City Market, we will have a band in the parking lot. And on Thursdays, it's $2.50 for all of our beers.
Can't beat that.
Half price.
Great.
It's the best night to be here.
Including High Gravity beers. You can get Wilder Flower right now on Thursdays for $2.50.
You can't beat that at all, man.
You can't.
That's a
beat
deal.
It. So go to City Market, go to the Beer Co. anniversary, and then come to Natty Green's and drink some half price beer.
Yeah. And order their dry rub wings because they're the best.
They're really good wings.
They're super good.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace out.
Cheers.
Out.